Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of True Crime with Kendall Ray. Thank you so much for joining me today. If you're new to the show, then welcome. So, guys, today we're going to be talking about the very strange disappearance of Caden Black. And I'm just going to tell you guys right off the bat that this one is super, super frustrating, mostly just because so little is known about what even happened to him. And, you know, in 2025, you would think it's pretty damn near impossible to just vanish without a trace, given how many cameras we have and how much technology is, you know, wired into our everyday lives. I guess wired wouldn't be the word. I sound really old, but you know what I mean. But you would think it'd be pretty hard to just disappear nowadays, but that's what seems to have happened here. Now, like I said, when it comes to this case, there are unfortunately very few details, but I think there are enough to at least do an episode, and I thought it was still important to tell Caden's story because there really isn't a ton of coverage on this case, and his loved ones desperately need and want answers. Okay, so let's get into Caden's story, starting with some background on him. So Caden Black was born on December 10th, 2003, to his parents Kara Patterson and Maurice Black, and he grew up in Wrightsville, Pennsylvania, with two older siblings and two younger ones, and when he was around 3 years old, his parents divorced, and so he and his siblings lived primarily with Kara. Now, unfortunately, I couldn't find that much about his early life, but I did learn that he was a very active kid when he grew up. When Caden was attending Eastern York High School, he was a wide receiver on the football team and ran track and field. And outside of school, he was into basketball, BMX riding, and boxing. And he actually had big dreams of competing in the ring one day. And honestly, it just sounds like Caden was that type of person who did not like to sit still, had to always be doing something. And in fact, his dad said he always was doing something and that everything he did at 100%. He would go to the gym pretty much every day, and sometimes he would even go twice a day. And if he were ever bored, he would go for a run or a bike ride. And one time, this blew my mind, he went on a 51-mile bike ride in just 4 hours just to see if he could. It just makes me laugh how casual he is about something like that, something I could never do, 51 miles on a bike in 4 hours. That is insane. And what's crazy is he told his mom that he actually could have done it in less time if he didn't make any stops. So not only is he clearly a very gifted athlete, but he also had a very strong personality. Caden was known to be kind, friendly, and very funny as well, without trying to be. He was also described as a community helper and was well known in his small town. And he would sort of act as a big brother figure to many people. If someone was struggling on the football team, Caden was there and he'd have no problem staying after practice to help them out. And I don't want to use the classic true crime cliche of he lit up a room, which I'm sure I say that all the time, or I have in the past. But sometimes that's the best way to describe a person, right? Like, his presence was definitely known in the rooms that he was in. It just sounds like he had a really big personality that would sort of brighten people's days. And I know that sounds a little cliche, but it's true. He had this big smile and a deep laugh, which his family absolutely adored. His mom, Kara, said that he would actually laugh so hard that he would like bend over and hold his stomach sort of like that, and that none of her other kids had a laugh like that. Now, while Caden had this big personality and a really sweet personality too, like many of us, he really struggled with his mental health. He was diagnosed with bipolar disorder, anxiety, OCD tendencies, oppositional defiance disorder, and he was also on the autism spectrum. And if you've never heard of oppositional defiance disorder, it's a behavior disorder, and it's most commonly diagnosed among children, with symptoms that include arguing, outbursts, and defying adults or people of authority. And Caden did exhibit some of these symptoms, and I will get into some of the specific situations in a bit. But for now, I want to get into the circumstances that led up to his disappearance. So in 2019, his mother, Kara, was offered an out-of-state job promotion in Maryland, and she decided to take it. So Caden and his two younger brothers went with her. And at first, things were going okay. He started going to a school that he liked, but they didn't have a sports program, which obviously, with how athletic Caden was, this was a big issue for him. And so he transferred to a different school, but then it was the opposite problem. He was in their sports program, but he didn't like anything else about it. And after a while, Caden just wasn't happy in Maryland. And even though the move was only like an hour away from Wrightsville, to a teenager, an hour is a lot. I remember driving an hour felt so long for me, so inconvenient when I was that young. And it kind of, when you're that age, it just feels like you're in a different world at that point. as the summer is coming to a close, which I've got to say, I'm pretty heartbroken over, but I do love fall. But now that we're headed into fall, I'm all about refreshing my wardrobe with staple pieces for the season ahead. And I've got a lot of events where I need to be looking good. Quince just nails it with the luxe essentials that feel effortless and look polished. They're perfect for layering, for mixing. Their styles are so versatile. I find myself reaching for them again and again and again. And they just hold up well. That's one of the biggest things for me and why I always love going back to Quince is I know the quality is going to be good every time. I'm talking chic cashmere and cotton sweaters starting at just $40, washable silk tops, classic denim pants, timeless styles that you'll keep coming back to. And the best part, everything with Quince is half the cost of similar brands. And you're probably wondering, how do they do that? Well, they do it by partnering directly with top artisans, cutting out the middleman. Quince gives you the luxury without that markup, baby. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. One thing that I got my hands on recently from Quince that I wanted to mention because they are selling out, you guys. The Italian leather buckle detail shoulder bags. It comes in three different colors. I have the cognac. And man, I love it. I've been using it a ton. And the quality, you just won't believe it for the price. And I'm currently working on quite a large Quince cart that I'm going to be checking out soon, hopefully, to elevate my fall wardrobe. So elevate your fall wardrobe essentials with Quince. Just go to quince.com/TCKR for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/TCKR to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Once again, quince.com/TCKR. And, you know, he missed his school, his friends, his routine. Everything was different, and so he wanted to move in with his dad. So he asked his mom if that would be okay, and at first, Kara didn't really want him to, but after a while, she caved because, you know, at the end of the day, she just wanted her son to be happy. And so in November of 2021, he moved into Maurice's home in East Prospect, which is just a few minutes away from Wrightsville. But unfortunately, things didn't calm down for Caden after this because when he returned to Eastern York High, he kept getting into fights. And Maurice explained that it's because Caden couldn't stand bullies. And he was that type of person that would stand up to them. He did not care. He was not scared of them. But, you know, it would lead to confrontation. And so, unfortunately, he was expelled and he was forced to attend Paradise School, which was about 45 minutes away in Abbottstown, Pennsylvania. And it's a small, private, special education school that specializes in helping students with emotional or behavioral issues. But Caden wasn't happy going there, which became abundantly clear on April 4th, 2022. On that day, after school, Caden was being driven back to his dad's house by the school's transportation. Now, I've seen reports that it was a small, like, school van. And then I've seen other reports that say that it was a regular school bus. But it really doesn't matter a ton to this story. What does matter is there was assigned seating on this bus and Caden wasn't in his assigned seat. And I guess the bus driver became so upset by this that he actually pulled the bus over on the major highway Route 30. And then the driver told him that he was tired of his insolence and demanded that he got off the bus. And I'm not sure if this was a repeated issue or why he said he was tired of his insolence. It seems like a pretty small issue to just be in the wrong seat. It's a little confusing here. And I'm no expert on school bus driving, especially in Pennsylvania or anywhere, but I did look into it a little. And after taking a quick peek at the Pennsylvania School Bus Driver's Manual, this action of demanding a student to get off the bus does seem to fall out of the scope of assertive discipline that it outlines. Basically, it sounds like this action was way too far, and the more appropriate action for the driver to have taken would have been to just drive him back to the school or call someone to assist. But anyway, he didn't do that, obviously. He demanded that Caden gets off the bus. And Caden refused to get off the bus, so the exchange became very, very heated. And according to the criminal complaint, the driver says that Caden threw a clipboard with papers and also slammed the bus door. And I'm confused about that because, I mean, a classic bus door automatically opens and closes. So maybe this was like a van situation. And I'm also confused because it's unclear if he was getting off the bus somehow, or if he did it when he was still inside. Maybe the driver had opened it and he slammed it shut, or maybe he got off at one point. I don't know. But either way, that's what the driver claims. That's what's in the criminal complaint. And then he also says that Caden grabbed him by the throat with his left hand and hit him with his right. Then the driver grabbed him by his hair, to which Caden responded, "Let go of my hair, or I'll kill you." And we also have to keep in mind here that it's unclear what violent act happened first. The driver said it was the throat grabbing, but Kanan's mom has said that the bus surveillance footage shows that he was actually acting in self-defense. But either way, the police were called and Kanan was arrested. And his charges included aggravated assault, simple assault, strangulation, and recklessly endangering another person. And the two assault charges were actually felonies. So Kanan was looking at a lot of potential trouble. Now, in York County, where he was arrested, people who are incarcerated and awaiting trial don't go to their local jail. They are sent to the state prison. And also, keep in mind, it's 2022, so we're still dealing with the courts being backed up because of COVID. And so Kanan's bail wasn't even set until April 13th, over a week after the incident. His $25,000 bail was posted on April 17th, and he returned to Maurice's home, but never returned to Paradise School. And I can't imagine the type of trauma that Kanan experienced as a very, very young man in prison for nearly 2 weeks. And I mean, I know he's an adult, and even though he did act out, he's still a teenager, and he's being sent to be around serious criminals for 2 weeks, and that just seems like way too much. And unfortunately, this wouldn't be the only time that he had to deal with something like that. Because just a few months later, Kanan did end up getting into a pretty big fight with his father, Maurice, and his fiance, and not all the details are known, but in an interview, Maurice said, "That day was mainly on me. He was setting pictures of himself on fire, and he was just angry in general. He was just off. He wasn't his normal self that day." And man, it is really hard to think about Kanan sitting there burning pictures of himself. I mean, that is a low place to be, and my heart breaks for him for whatever he was feeling in that moment. But anyway, the police were called, and Kanan was placed in an involuntary psychiatric hold, or a 302, as it's called in Pennsylvania, and was taken to York Hospital for further evaluation. And I want to be super, super clear here. The reason I am telling you guys about these incidents is because they could have played a role in what happened to him. And I don't want to characterize Kanan as violent or a mean person. I've seen the media describe him as a troubled teen, and I just hate that term. It's so old school, I can't even believe they really still use it. But I mean, I hate it for so many different reasons, but especially when it comes to disappearances, because I worry that people will see the term troubled teen and just write off his disappearance as something to do with that, or it's not something that I'm going to spend my time caring about. Not give it proper attention. And it's really frustrating to see that term used. It's just irrelevant to his disappearance, in my opinion. But like I said, I do think it's important that people understand his diagnoses and also these incidents, because they could have led to his disappearance. They could be part of what happened. We don't know. But overall, you know, I just don't want to judge Kanan solely on his worst moments. That's not why I bring these things up. And I hope people don't judge him from this episode, because overall, people had nothing but great things to say about Kanan. His old track coach even said that one day he'd make you mad and the next it would be like nothing happened. And obviously, I don't know Kanan personally, but from what I've gathered, it seems like he was a good kid who was really just struggling with his emotional and mental health. And it was clear he needed help. And this fight with his dad may have put him on the path to getting it. And in order to understand that path, I need to introduce someone significant in this case, Chris Faust. So Chris is the father of one of Kanan's friends. His name is Ethan. And the two of them met in middle school. And while on the bus together and over the years, Kanan would spend time at his house and playing video games or swimming in their pool. And he just got to know their whole family pretty well. Now, according to Chris, he was at a dentist appointment when he received a call about Kanan being at the hospital. And he supposedly ran out of there, went straight to him, and talked with him for 4 to 5 hours. And Chris claims that he visited him every day, and that at first he really wasn't doing well, but eventually he was given a medication that helped to stabilize his mood. Now, Chris was a former air traffic controller who took theology courses at Liberty University, so I guess he felt qualified to teach Kanan about his faith during these visits. I guess he gave him a Bible, and he would preach his religious beliefs to him. And I know we probably all have very different beliefs about that. I'm sure you can tell just from my tone how I feel about it. I don't know. I think that's all I'm going to say. But anyways, after the hold was up, Kanan had to go back to prison because the fight happened when he was on probation. And so this time, He actually had to spend several weeks there because of the court delays. And so, as you can imagine, this was a very difficult time for him. And Chris recalls seeing bruises on him, wounds on him when he would go and visit. And thankfully, eventually his bail was set. And because of the altercation, Caden wasn't allowed to go back to his dad's home. So the Fausts offered for him to move in with them. And at this point, Caden was 18. So he could legally decide where he wanted to live. And so he decided to take them up on their offer and live with them. And they later said that they completely cleared out and repainted a room for him and even bought him a brand new bed. And I did read that it was a 3-bedroom house. And since there was already Chris, his wife, and their 2 teenage kids already living in the home, it's unclear if someone was moved out of a bedroom to make room for Caden. I'm not really sure what the situation was, but regardless of that, it seemed like Caden was doing really well in their home. And he started looking for work and also started figuring out steps to get his GED, which is great. And he actually was starting his own lawn care business. But unfortunately, some asshole stole the mowers that he purchased, which is a huge bummer. And so he was set back on that project. You've probably seen a million ads for hair growth products and thought, sure, like that actually works. And I did too. And I had tried a lot of those products and none of them had ever worked for me until I gave Nutrafol a shot. It is not like the rest of them. Nutrafol is physician formulated. It's clinically tested and dermatologists recommend it. In fact, my dermatologist recommended it to me. It was actually a long time ago, but I was already on it. I already knew the deal because I found Nutrafol on my own after I had my daughter and I was dealing with a lot of hair shedding and thinning. And it was very, very upsetting, especially being postpartum and already feeling like crap. And I started using it and wow, it has completely transformed my hair. I truly swear by this product and I've recommended it to so many of my own friends and family. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement brand. It's trusted by over 1.5 million people. And you can feel great about what you're putting into your body, since Nutrafol hair growth supplements are backed by peer-reviewed studies and NSF content certified, which is the gold standard in third-party certification for supplements. And adding Nutrafol into your daily routine, you guys, it's simple. You purchase online, there's no prescription required. They even offer automated deliveries and free shipping to keep you on track. Plus, with a Nutrafol subscription, you can save up to 20%, which definitely makes a big difference. And you'll have access to one-on-one naturopathic doctor consults to support you on your hair growth journey, and a Headspace meditation membership is included. You can see thicker, stronger, faster growing hair with less shedding in just 3 to 6 months with Nutrafol. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering my listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter promo code Kendall Ray. Find out why Nutrafol is the best-selling hair growth supplement brand at Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com. Promo code Kendall Ray. Once again, that's Nutrafol.com, promo code Kendall Ray. Did you know that most nonstick cookware still contains harmful chemicals like Teflon and other PFAS, which can leach into food, the environment, and your home? And our place is changing that with an array of beautiful, toxin-free, high-performance cookware and appliances designed for safer, simpler, and more enjoyable home cooking. Now, we love our place in our house. I have been using our place products for years, and they have held up with me throughout all of those years. I have tried a bunch of different types of cookware, and I've never had luck with them holding up as well as our place. I'm telling you, you will be shocked by how well they hold up. And a couple years ago, I got my dad the Always Pan for Father's Day, and he still talks to me about how well it holds up, how he uses it for pretty much everything he cooks. And my dad's a big chef. And they're beautiful pans, but they really do hold up and they get the job done. Everything from braising to searing to frying and baking, it does it all. I mean, eggs just glide out effortlessly, which minimizes the need for excess oil. It's really an iconic, best-selling 10-in-1 pan. They also now have the Always Pan Pro, which is the first nonstick pan with zero coating, made from pure titanium for unbeatable durability with a limited lifetime warranty. This is cookware that's designed for performance and built to last. Designed in Los Angeles with over 200 patents, Our Place products are trusted by Michelin star chefs and have over 80,000 five-star reviews. So stop cooking with toxic cookware and upgrade to Our Place today. Visit fromourplace.com/TCKR and use code TCKR for 10% off site-wide. With a 100-day risk-free trial, free shipping and returns, you can experience this game-changing cookware with zero risk. But another thing that seemed to be really great about living with Chris is that Chris was also very active. So he and Caden would regularly go on bike rides together or to the gym together. And they also started a project together, which was working on an old Toyota 4Runner that Kara had gifted to Caden. And I don't know all the specifics, but I guess the 4Runner didn't run that well anymore. And so they were working on getting it back into good shape for him to drive. And then luckily, he eventually landed a part-time job for a moving company. And so by all appearances, I'm sure you can agree, it seems like things were starting to turn around for Caden, that he was getting on the right track, that his life was sort of starting to fall back into place while under the Faust's roof. So that's why it makes it so frustrating and confusing that he completely just disappeared a week after he turned 19 years old. Now, even though he and his father, Maurice, obviously had a tumultuous relationship to some degree, they still kept in touch. And every Sunday, Caden would go to his home to visit and take their family dogs out for a run. And he loved his dogs and he was concerned that they didn't get enough exercise. So this was something that was very, very important to him and he never would miss it. But on Sunday, December 18th, 2022, Caden just never showed up. And Maurice had spoken to him the day before and Caden said that he was going to be there. So when he didn't show up, it was immediately concerning to him. And so Maurice called Chris and he said that he hadn't seen him that day and that he was probably sleeping in his room. And so throughout the day, Maurice kept calling and texting Caden, but he never received a response. And then the next day he had his shift at the moving company and he never showed up, which was also unlike him. And by Tuesday, Maurice said that he still hadn't heard anything. So he called Chris again. And this time he told him that Caden wasn't there. Then Kara received a call from Chris asking if she had seen him. And she had last talked to him on the 14th when they discussed Caden coming to her home for Christmas, but she had no idea where he was now. And again, like I said at the beginning of this episode, there's not a lot of information out on this case. There's not a lot of coverage. And so it was really confusing at times. And I couldn't figure out which call came first. So I don't know if Maurice's call sort of sparked Chris's concern and caused him to take it seriously, or if Chris was already trying to find him when Maurice called again. But either way, apparently he had finally opened Caden's bedroom door, which does seem strange, but he saw he wasn't there. And that's when he realized he was missing. And of course, he is an adult living in their home. I do think it's strange that he didn't check in his room sooner. But anyway, that day, Chris goes and files a missing persons report with the Lower Windsor Township Police Department. But let's jump back just the tiniest bit and talk about things for a second, because I'm sure you're confused or suspicious hearing all of this, because I definitely was. On Sunday, Chris made it seem to Maurice that everything was fine. So what happened? Well, I guess Chris never actually saw Caden on Sunday, and he had last seen him on Saturday night. And according to him, Caden was invited to go to a car show with a friend, but I guess he turned it down, and instead he ate dinner with the Fausts. After that, he wanted to go go-karting, but Chris wasn't up for joining him. Then he wanted to go to the boxing gym, so he called the gym to check its hours and was told it was about to close. And this call was later verified by the gym's owner. Chris says that after all of that, Caden just went into his room for the night, and that was the last known sighting of him. So I'm sure you have a lot of questions about all of that, and trust me, I do too, but for now, let's get back to the timeline. And I do have to say here that this case is different than a lot of the missing persons cases that I usually cover, because in this instance, the police immediately took it seriously. And in fact, some of the officers actually knew Caden. Even the police chief, James Thomas, was actually his high school track coach, and others would often see him out running or playing basketball. And one officer even bought him a slice of pizza and the two of them chatted for a while. And it seems like because of that emotional attachment, or maybe this is just a great police department, I don't know, but they jumped on it very quickly. They searched his room and they found some alcohol, very common for a teenager, of course. And they also found handwritten rap lyrics that mentioned a girl and a homemade Ouija board. And obviously that kind of sticks out to me. It's a little unusual, but I don't have any idea what to make of that. They also noticed that his phone, his wallet, and a pair of shoes were missing. Caden's ID was later found in one of Chris's cars, paper clipped to a deposit slip and a $5 bill, but the rest of his wallet has never been recovered. Maurice's home was also searched, but no evidence was found. And even though his phone was missing, they were able to clone it and go through the records. And it last pinged off of a tower not far from the Faust's home on Old Windsor Road at 9:28 a.m. that Sunday. But the most significant thing they found, though, was that the phone was connected to the Faust home Wi-Fi at 9:33 a.m., shortly after that ping and several hours after Chris said he had last seen Caden. And then right after that, his phone either died or was just shut off and there was no more activity. And police also figured out that around this time, his social media accounts were deleted. And that was pretty much it, you guys. Those are the only clues surrounding Caden's disappearance, which is just so frustrating and confusing because they weren't even able to recover any surveillance footage of Caden, which just feels impossible in 2022. It seems like everyone at least had a doorbell camera by then. The police searched a 5 to 6 mile radius of that cell tower, but it was winter and they were dealing with snow and ice. And once the weather changed, they did do follow-up searches, but still came up empty. Of course, police spoke to his family and friends, but no one had any idea what could have happened, where he could be, or had any information at all. And although he just started working at that moving company, investigators still talked to his boss and his coworkers, and one of them actually had dinner with him on the 16th. And he said that he was totally fine, and the two of them had even talked about seeing each other at work on Monday. No one in his life was able to give the police anything to suggest where he could possibly be. And the Faust actually did say that he wasn't acting totally like himself in the 2 weeks leading up to his disappearance. I guess he would normally spend a lot of time with them, hang out with them when he was home, but lately he had just been coming straight home and going right into his room. Now, of course, we've got to keep in mind that we have no idea what was actually going on in his life and in his mind leading up to his disappearance. It's quite possible he was dealing with some things that he hadn't told anyone about. And we also got to keep in mind that we don't know what was going on in that house. We don't know if there was a reason that he was acting that way towards them. Maybe things were weird and he didn't feel comfortable spending time with them or didn't want to spend time with them. Not saying that that's the case. I'm just saying that's a possibility. No one knows because none of us were there, of course. And also, you got to keep in mind, he had just started a new job. So it's possible he was just resting after his shifts. It was probably a lot of work to be moving people. But I also do want to note that the Faust weren't the only ones to notice that he was acting a little off. His mom, Kara, actually said the same thing. She said that when she spoke to him that Thursday to discuss upcoming Christmas plans, that she mentioned how his older brother had moved back in with her. And according to her, Caden seemed confused by this, even though she says they had a very long conversation about it the week prior. But I guess he sounded a little despondent, which may speak to his frame of mind that week, but it isn't enough to point to what could have happened. And when Christmas came just a few days later, Kara held out some hope that maybe Caden would just show up. And the pain of that not happening made this all so much worse. So after the holidays passed, on January 4th, the police held a press conference to update the public. And they talked about all the investigative efforts, including the ground searches in the area and drone searches in the nearby rugged terrain. They also obtained warrants for the Faust home, and they brought in canines trained in electronic storage detection, but they came up empty. Now, if you didn't know, ESD canines are trained to detect a chemical scent that's found in the glue of electronics. And as I mentioned in a recent episode, my foundation, Higher Hope, worked with the nonprofit Our Rescue to train and place an ESD canine in Colorado. And like I explained, we wanted you guys to help vote for a name. And on July 28th, we got to announce to you all on Higher Hope social media, which, by the way, give us a follow if you aren't already. I would so appreciate it. But the name will be Hope if it's a girl and Charlie if it's a boy. And those were my top picks. So I'm very, very satisfied with those names. Thank you to everyone who took the time to vote. But anyway, getting back to the press conference, the most interesting piece of information that came out of it was that on the 16th, Caden had deposited his paycheck, but his bank account remained untouched after he disappeared. And police also said that this isn't a criminal investigation, but they are worried about him. They also stress that he's not in any trouble and they've always had a good relationship with him. And at the end of it, Kara said a few words and begged the public to come forward with any information. And God, you can just feel the heartbreak that she is experiencing. And it's just always so upsetting to see a mother so desperate to find her baby.
I would like someone to come forward and just let me know something, because I know somebody knows where my son is or what happened to my son. Somebody has to know something. And Caden, if you're just out there, call me. Just let me know you're okay. If you need help or you want me to come and get you, just call me. If you're afraid to call my phone, call me at work. That's it. Just Kaden, if you see this, you are so loved. You are so loved by so many people. So many people are missing you. So many people are worried about you. If anybody knows anything, please just let me know that my son is okay. I just need to know that my son is okay.
Now, during this time, the Faust and Kaden's family were on good terms. And initially, Chris and Kara spoke sometimes a couple times a day. But that did not last too long, unfortunately. And both of their phone numbers were even on the missing poster. But his number was taken off after a few weeks. And Chris claims that he asked for it to be removed because he was receiving prank calls. But Kara claims that she removed it after learning that Kaden's phone was connected to their Wi-Fi on Sunday morning. But either way, this was the first sign of tension between them, and it only worsened a few months later. Because at that point, Chris blocked their family and listed Kaden's car on Facebook Marketplace. Now, technically, it was legally his to sell, because when Kara had gifted Kaden the car, Chris had offered to put it under his insurance plan. But in order to do that, the title would have to be in his name. So on paper, yeah, the car was his and he could do what he wanted. And he also listed the new bed that he had gotten for Kaden on Facebook Marketplace as well. So these two sales have definitely made people question the Fausts, which leads us into theories of what could have happened here. And of course, there's not much to work with. And I want to make it clear that the Fausts have never been named persons of interest, but there is certainly a lot of speculation surrounding them. I choose Function because it's the only health platform that gives you access to the kind of data that most people just never see and the insights to actually take action. Inside Function, you can test over 160 biomarkers, from heart and hormones to toxins, inflammation, and stress. You can also access multi-region MRI and CT scans, all tracked in one secure place over time. It's an enhanced view of what's happening inside your body. And every year, guys, this season shows up with the same demands: new routines, shifting weather, and a heightened focus on immune health. And most people think preparing means stocking up on vitamins and hand sanitizer, but real preparation starts inside your body, long before your first cough or cold. Whether you're sending kids back to school or stepping into busier season yourself, it's time to recalibrate, to see what your immune system needs to fill the gaps early. And these biomarkers may be worth checking out this time of year. Vitamin D, vitamin E, zinc, which is critical for fighting infections before they take hold, ferritin, high-sensitivity C-reactive protein, white blood cell count, cortisol, which can tell you if stress may be dragging your immune system down. I'm so looking forward to getting tested and learning more about my body, way more than I would ever learn from my doctor. So learn more and join by using my link. The first 1,000 get a $100 credit towards their membership. Just visit www.functionhealth.com/TCKR or use gift code TCKR100 at sign up to own your health. First off, some people think it's odd that none of them saw him after Saturday night, but didn't seem to be concerned about it until Tuesday. And I mentioned earlier how I also think that is off. I think that is very off. But of course, he's not their child. He's living in their home. He's an adult. I don't know what their situation was. Again, we didn't live in that house. None of us know what it was like in that house, but it feels weird, right? The house is 1,500 square feet, and I understand he had his own bedroom, but it just doesn't feel spacious enough to not notice that someone wasn't there. Like, you would think you would see him go to the bathroom or just, I don't know, it's odd. And keep in mind that four family members were living in the house at the time, but for days, no one questioned where Kaden was. And you would think after Maurice called them on Sunday that they would be a bit more vigilant to at least look for him, but that doesn't seem to be the case. And Chris has explained that he would wake up early and that Kaden would stay up late and then sleep in. So he didn't think it was weird not seeing him on Sunday morning, but what about the other three people that were living there? And remember, one of those people was his good friend, Ethan. And also, his phone was active in their house on Sunday morning. So it suggests that he was awake then. But the biggest thing that people turn to is selling his stuff just months after he disappeared. And we have seen some cases where getting rid of someone's belonging points to guilt, but the Faust did spend their own money on buying the bed and the supplies for fixing up the car, so maybe they just wanted some money back. Yet at the same time, if they had done these things out of the goodness of their hearts to help Caden, you'd just think you wouldn't be in such a rush to get some money back for that situation. Just months after he disappeared, I don't know. It feels weird. And on the Facebook Marketplace ad, he claims that he spent over $10,000 on parts for it, but the car sold for $8,500. So why was he in such a hurry to sell it if he didn't even make all his money back? So in my opinion, their behavior is questionable, but it also could be easily explained and could be completely innocent. And it's definitely not enough to point to involvement. Now, there is something else that I felt I should mention because there is a lot of discussion about it online, but about a week after Caden went missing, Chris posted this photo of their cracked garage floor, asking if anyone else in the neighborhood had their epoxy cracked due to the cold weather. And that led people to speculating that they did something to Caden and buried him under their garage, which obviously is a wild stretch, and they would have to be really stupid to post where they hid his body on Facebook for all the world to see. I mean, come on. I think that is such a ridiculous theory, but people be making ridiculous theories online. And I want to remind everyone that their home was searched by law enforcement and canines were brought in. But I will say, in my opinion, it is kind of strange and just distasteful to be posting about a crack in the garage floor when someone that you seemingly cared about just disappeared from your home so recently. It's strange, and it's also just kind of distasteful. I don't know really what to make of it, but it definitely doesn't point to guilt or anything like that. And I'm sure you're probably wondering about Caden's friend, Ethan. Well, he hasn't talked much to the press, and when he has, it's been very basic answers. So we don't really have any of his insight on all of this. And I just have to stress one more time that even though their behavior may seem strange, there is zero evidence that they did anything to Caden, and it's not the only theory out there. And I just want to make that really clear because I would hate for people from my audience to go and harass this family. Please do not do that. There's no evidence that they did anything. So let's talk about some of the other theories out there. Some have wondered if maybe Caden ran away in order to avoid his upcoming hearings over the bus incident. He had been very vocal that he never wanted to go back to prison, and the amount of time that he was facing with two felony charges must have been terrifying for him. But there are a few holes in this theory. I mean, first, Caden's lawyer has said that he was positive that he could get the charges dismissed, especially with the surveillance footage. So there was quite a bit of hope of avoiding jail time. Of course, in his mind, he could have been thinking, there's still a chance I could go back and I don't want to take that chance. But there are some holes in the idea that he ran away. The most obvious one being the fact that he had deposited his paycheck and then never touched it again. It's not like he cashed it so that there were no traces on his accounts. It's just been sitting there. And on that note, Kara also said that she and Caden talked about how she would be giving him money as a Christmas present that year. And that was just 2 weeks away, while his upcoming court date was about 6 weeks away. So you would think that if Caden was planning on running away, he would at least wait until Christmas so he could get that money. And that way he would have more money to work with while he was on the run. But he obviously didn't. However, of course, it is on the table. He may have run away. And Kara has said that she initially thought he could have left on purpose, but it's very unlike him, according to her, to go no contact with everyone after all this time. He was also very close to his brother Carter, and the two of them spoke almost every day. So even if he was scared to contact his parents, they think that he would have at least reached out to him. Bottom line, his family just really doesn't buy into this theory because they think it would be so out of character for him to see his family in such distress and not to let any of them know that he's okay. But even though they don't, you know, really believe this theory much, Kara did attempt to get the charges dismissed in hopes that maybe he would come back if he was in hiding somewhere. But at the end of the day, this theory is very speculative, and it's really just based on the fact that Caden said he didn't want to go back to prison. which is a very rational and normal thing to say that most people would say. Then there's the idea that maybe Caden did leave the Faust home on his own and that he planned to return, but then something happened. And like I mentioned, he did go for runs a lot, so it isn't out of the question. But like all the theories, there's some holes in this too. Mainly that his phone was connected to the home Wi-Fi after it last pinged, but the phone itself was never found. So that would mean he would have turned off his phone before leaving the house, but still took it with him, which doesn't make a ton of sense, but at the same time, it's possible. Like maybe he wanted to leave the house and clear his head a bit, didn't want to be notified on his phone, but wanted to have it just in case he needed it. But it feels odd. Also, don't forget, some of his social media was deleted around that time, and that's pretty significant. Now, one thing I have to mention here is that the Faust home is about 2 miles away from the Susquehanna, which is a huge river that runs through half of Pennsylvania and parts of New York and Maryland. So people have wondered, could he have possibly fallen into the river while he was on his run? But it was winter, and reports have stated that the river was frozen over. Now, I don't live on the East Coast. I don't know what winters are like. I know they're pretty brutal. But in this area specifically where he was able to access, was it completely frozen over? I wasn't able to find that information, but investigators have been exploring this possibility by conducting extensive searches around the river, but nothing has ever been found. And honestly, after going through all of those theories, all of the information we do have, what little evidence we do have, which is basically nothing, I don't know what to think. And with some missing persons cases, there are a few clues that sort of give insight into what probably happened. But I don't feel this way about this one. I have no idea. There just isn't a solid theory because each of these options feels possible, but questionable at the same time. And no matter what happened, I just hope that Caden's family will one day get those answers because I cannot imagine what it would be like to have no idea and just wonder because, God, your mind has to just wander so much. Thinking of all the possibilities, I'm sure they have gone over so many more ideas than we have today. I did want to mention that in 2023, Kara offered a $5,000 reward for information. And in December that same year, the community held a vigil to mark his birthday and 1 year since his disappearance. And you can just tell that all of those in attendance love him and desperately want him to return. And over the years, their family has really done whatever they can to get the word out. At some point, they even partnered with the Doc Ellis Foundation. And you may remember the Doc Ellis Foundation from my episode on Susanna Morales. But if you didn't catch that one or you don't remember, it was founded in honor of the late Pittsburgh Pirates pitcher Doc Ellis. And their purpose is to provide resources to families impacted by missing, murdered, or trafficked loved ones, specifically in underserved and minority communities. And guys, they are such a great foundation. And I'll leave a link to their website in the description if you're interested in learning more about their work. And I'm really happy to hear that they are involved and working on this case because there haven't been any major updates, and we just can't let Caden be forgotten. One update did come out in early 2024, so it has been a while, but Chief Jim Thomas said in an interview, during the course of the investigation and looking into things, we feel that there's a possibility of foul play. And to be clear, they were never denying that that was possible, but they were saying that they had no reason to believe that's what happened. But Kara was vocal that she was happy that they're publicly expressing this because at the time, at least, she strongly believed it was foul play. But as of the day that I'm recording this, no person of interest has been named. And I do have to say, it really does seem like the police want answers and they haven't given up on Caden's case. At least that's the way it seems. I hope that is the case. But over the years, extensive searches have been conducted by air, by land, by water, and nothing has come up. They've also partnered with many agencies and organizations, including the York County DA's office, the Center for Missing and Exploited Persons, Crime Stoppers of Pennsylvania, the State Police, Team Adam, East Prospect Fire Company, and Lake Clark Water Rescue. So many people have been out there putting in the time trying to find him. And a lot of the searches have been centered around where the phone last pinged, but it's also extended out to other areas as well. It really does seem that they have done as much as they possibly can do at this point. I mean, they've conducted hundreds of interviews. They've followed up on numerous tips, including false sightings and tips that have come in from psychics. And one self-proclaimed psychic told them that they had a vision of Caden in the water by a local dam. So the police and water rescue actually coordinated a search there. Divers checked the intake area of the dam, but they found nothing. And another psychic said that Caden was on a small island in the Susquehanna River. And they even brought cadaver dogs out there, but found nothing. And it's not often that investigators take those types of tips from psychics seriously. I mean, sometimes they do, and sometimes they actually pan out, very rarely. But it really speaks to how desperate they are, how much they want to solve this case, that they are taking even tips like that seriously. In an interview in 2023, Chief Jim Thomas said that their small community was just reeling after this disappearance. And he also stated, "We all knew Caden. We all got along with Caden. There's been many a night when we sat around the squad room brainstorming and trying to figure out what happened. I just hope something breaks for them soon. I mean, someone has to know something. There's got to be another clue out there that just hasn't been uncovered yet. And I just hope that something comes out sooner than later so that his family can at least have answers." In May of 2024, his parents gave an interview to local news, and they are both very conflicted about what could have happened. Maurice feels like Caden is still out there and doesn't want to give up hope until he sees proof, and I totally get that. But Kara said that she believes that he's no longer alive because he visits her in her dreams. She's talked about one in which he hugs her and tells her that he loves her, but he has to go. And she's not the only one in their family who's experienced these dreams. And this is really, really eerie to me, and I'm sure you guys will agree, but they didn't initially tell his grandma that he was missing. And before they told her, Kara was visiting with her, and she asked if he was okay because she had a dream in which she saw him underwater. And I know to a lot of people that means nothing. Not everyone puts stock onto people's dreams like that, but I don't know. I've heard many weird things like that in cases where it does pan out. So I don't know. And especially like if anyone's going to have a dream or a vision, I feel like the family is going to be most connected to Caden in that way. But that's just my opinion. My heart just truly goes out to all of them. I mean, thinking about how frustrated I feel and how frustrated I'm sure a lot of you feel just listening to his case, think about how they feel. I mean, after this ends, we all get to move on and go about our lives, but they're dealing with this. They're living with this pain of not knowing every single day of their lives. And so before I go, I just wanted to ask a favor because my audience is so, so kind, so amazing, always willing to go the extra mile. But if you do want to help and you have Facebook, I really encourage you to follow the Find Caden Black page. His family is nowhere near giving up on him, and I would just love for them to feel supported by my audience. So even if you just follow or could go the extra mile and just leave them a nice comment, you know, some encouragement or something like that, it really goes a long way for people to just feel like they're not alone. They have also set up a GoFundMe to raise money for a PI. So if you're interested in donating to that, I'll have it linked below. And like I said earlier, my team and I have reached out to them to offer a hope grant that could go towards a PI or something else that they have in mind. We'd love to chat it through and be, you know, connected with them as well. But that, unfortunately, is all I have for you on Caden's case at this time. Before I go, I do want to share the official description of Caden at the time of his disappearance. So he is biracial with brown hair, brown eyes. He's 5'10 and weighs 160 pounds. And if anyone has information, they should call Lower Windsor Township Police Department at 1-717-244-8055. That is going to be it for me today, guys. Thank you for joining me for another episode. And make sure you follow the show on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. It really does help me out. If you want to watch the video version of this show, you can find it on my YouTube channel, which will be linked, or you can just search Kendall Ray. I will be back with another episode soon, but until then, stay safe out there.